This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast.
We're live, bro. Holy.
Awesome.
Man, I'm glad you're here, brother.
Well, thank you for having me. It has been too long, buddy, and I am super excited to join you today and get to rap a little bit and use this time to grow and develop, and let's rock and roll.
Yeah, man, this is good stuff. So, guys, I'm joined by Jeff Finster, who is the CEO and founder of Everbowl. Fascinating guy, fascinating company that has kind of taken the world by storm. I'm going to let you tell that story here in just a few minutes here. Jeff and I met several years ago on a completely different project, and he's turned around and taken something he's extremely passionate about. And just in the last few years, like I said, he's created his own version of a rocket ship here that could easily turn into something that is just, you know, huge, dude. And so I'm really, really proud of you. Glad you're here. Glad you're carving out the time for us, because I think that I really want to talk about not only your entrepreneurial journey, you know, kind of how you got here, but key pivots you're doing, the way you see the future. You know, you're in this service industry, right? I mean, you're in the restaurant side of the business, you're in the hospitality side of the business. So your perspective here is going to be very different than a lot of others. And I think it'll be really valuable here. So again, welcome.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me, man. I'm excited.
So let's jump into it. Give everybody like the 2 to 5 minute version real quick of kind of a little bit of your story, how you got to this place.
Sure. So San Diego, born and raised, went to college and then law school to be a sports agent. Had a job lined up with Lee Steinberg Sports Agency and was excited to pursue that career. And then ultimately, while I was in my third year of law school, decided I didn't want to do that. Got engaged and had a daughter and didn't really want to travel around the world representing athletes. So I really wanted to kind of be home more. And so I wasn't sure what I was going to really do. Knew I had to make some money because I had 6 figures in law school debt and a fiance and a daughter. So I got a job selling payroll at a company called ADP and out of law school. And that's kind of what my first foray into business and corporate America was. And 6 months in, I was the number one sales rep in the country, first to make Presidents Club, made a lot of money, bought a house like 2 months before I ended up leaving. And on my 6 month anniversary, I'd earned an annual bonus of $17,000. And so I went to my boss in January and said, can I have my bonus? And they told me you have to wait to the end of the fiscal year, which was the end of June. So I'd get it in July. And I wasn't prepared to wait 6 months because, as I said, I had 6 figures in law school debt. I had a fiance. I just bought a house. So I'd spent all my savings and we had a daughter. And my boss told me, sorry, you have to wait. So I threatened to quit if they didn't give it to me. And they called my bluff. And I remember going home that night and talking to my fiance and saying, I want to sell this house we just got and move in with my mom and dad and my fiance and daughter and start my own payroll company. And luckily, she was my fiance and very supportive. And my parents were okay with it, even though they were like, what do you know about a business? And I said, nothing. And this was 08, or excuse me, yeah, this was the beginning of 08. So there wasn't really this sexiness around entrepreneurship or all these courses you could take or YouTube videos you could watch. And entrepreneurship was not really what it is today, but they were supportive. And so I did. I quit the very next day, started a payroll company with a buddy out of my mom's kitchen. We grew it and from 08 to 2011 and sold it in the end of 2011. And from there, my path towards entrepreneurship was kind of started. And I came to realize I'm a serial entrepreneur, which means I start a lot of companies and I jump from industry to industry to industry with zero experience, because I think experience is the most overrated prerequisite to starting a company. And, you know, me and you, we met when I had my digital marketing agency with Neil Patel and did that for a few years. And I had a recruiting agency. I had a online sports investing company. I had an equity-based crowdfunding platform. I have a restaurant today. I have a coffee business today. I have a construction company today. But really, for me, it's about startups. It's about entering new markets with fresh eyes and disruption and utilizing my lack of experience as an advantage as opposed to what everyone else thinks is a disadvantage. And I come in doing things differently, but that's okay. And that's kind of how I got to where I am today with Everbowl.
Dude, I love that. I love the fact that what most would perceive as a disadvantage, it's amazing how perception is everything, right? Perception becomes reality. That because you look at it as a strength, you welcome that. You welcome that adversity. You welcome that naivety when it comes to approaching a new business. And so you've turned something that, again, could keep most people out of a lot of different things, you're like, no, fuck it, let's do this.
Well, it's, yeah, because people are always like, I talk to or when I'm speaking, they ask me, oh, you know, I'm waiting to get enough experience. I want to work in the industry for a few years. And I'm like, why? You know, when I started Everbowl, a restaurant, I don't know how to, like, literally, I remember I was at a dinner with my mom, my dad, my wife and two daughters. And I'm like, I think I'm going to start this restaurant called, and it wasn't called Everbowl then, but this restaurant chain. And they're like, Jeff, you don't know anything about restaurants. You don't know how to cook. All you do in a kitchen is make a mess. 9 out of 10 restaurants fail. And right there, that comment, 9 out of 10 restaurants fail, is exactly why experiences are so overrated. Because everyone who starts restaurants usually has experience. And the reason 9 out of 10 restaurants fail is because they all do it the same way, which means that experience meant 90% of the time I was going to fail. But because I didn't approach it like every other restaurateur, I don't know shit about restaurants. And it doesn't matter. I know about business and I can find and attract people who can help me learn restaurants. But what I need to do is build a good, sustainable, viable business. And that, the principles of that is pretty much agnostic, regardless of industry, right? Okay. Whether you're in real estate, technology, hospitality, entertainment, the foundational principles of a successful business are the same. And so as long as you apply a success formula and you have a path to get there, you could do anything. And so rather than wait for experience, just get started and realize that everyone who starts a business has an idea, but it never ends up being what you think. You have to pivot. You have to adapt and change. And, you know, I equate being an entrepreneur to essentially just being a problem solver. Every day there's new problems, and how you solve those problems is going to dictate your success or not, or whether or not you fail. But by problem solving, you pivot, you change, you adapt, you move, and the journey is not what you thought it was going to be when you started. So waiting for this experience is just so overrated and such a waste of time. And
waiting for the experience or the perfect moment or the perfect situation. It's all just bullshit. That's just a story you tell yourself that is just nonsense.
It's fear. It's basically that it's a way we mask the fear and anxiety of the unknown. And so if you're not ready to jump, then don't jump. But I promise you, when you get thrown into the pool, you'll swim whether you're ready to swim or not. I don't care if you're in your, you know, oh, I want to go get my bathing suit on before I go to the pool. And I want it to be 70 and sunny before I go to the pool. That's fine. But if I take you in your clothes after, you know, after a wedding in a suit and it could be pouring rain and I throw you in the pool, you're still going to swim to the end of to the edge, right? So the only way to fucking do it is jump in and swim. And I make a career doing that now. And I get to, again, my other weakness was I could never see myself doing one thing forever. I have what I now call entrepreneurial ADD, but I just like new industries. I like learning new things. And, you know, everyone around me in my social circle early on was like, Jeff, you got to find something that you can do for the next 30 years, because otherwise you're just never going to get ahead. And I turned it into being a serial entrepreneur. So I start companies and 3, 4, 5 years later, I find a way to exit those companies, or I start new companies and I use vertical integration to do that, which is what I'm doing now. So I'm not doing the same thing for 20, 30 years, because I would literally
You're satisfying both. You're satisfying your curiosity while giving the business the opportunity to move through this different stages that it needs to go through.
Correct.
So talk about Everbowl. When did you start Everbowl?
October 2016. So I had got out of digital marketing at the end of 15 and was driving my wife and kids crazy. And they basically said, go do something. And so my passion outside of entrepreneurship and my family has always been health and wellness. And I think being your best self it starts with exercise and what we eat. And I'm a bit afraid of disease. And so I like to prevent illness rather than try to cure illness. And so just through my own curiosity and research, I realized that 80% of the 4 main ailments in America, heart disease, stroke, cancer, and obesity, are lifestyle driven. It's what we're doing by not moving our bodies and what we eat. And the average American eats fast food over 3 times a week. And I realized with the internet that real estate, commercial real estate, was driving close more and more towards restaurants as opposed to what they used to be with, like, you know, boutique clothing stores and electronic shops and all of these things that are no longer really meant for brick and mortar commercial. So there was an abundance of commercial real estate available. There was a drive towards the consumer, especially the millennial, to have quick serve options when you saw the explosion of Chipotle and Blaze Pizza and this I want it now assembly line style. And I looked at Kraft Superfood as a way for me to provide health and wellness to people in a fun way that was going to kind of skate to where the puck was going to be to the consumer behavior. And I wanted to reinvent that. So I looked at the main excuses we make as to why we don't eat healthy. And I basically summed them up in 4 basic excuses, which is 1, it costs too much to eat healthy, or we think it does. Two, it doesn't taste good. Three, it doesn't fill me up and leave me satisfied. Or four, I just can't get it. Accessibility. So I knew that if I provided something that was affordable, filling, delicious, and accessible and good for you, I was going to achieve my mission. And so Everbowl, I reverse engineered Everbowl to basically do those four things, be affordable, be filling, be delicious. And then I had to build a lot of them. And so in the last 3 years, we've built 30 stores in, you know, multiple states. And now we're about to franchise and go nationwide with it. And again, utilizing all of my stuff to do it.
Dude, it's fucking incredible. Literally, I mean, so in 3 years, 30, a little over 3 years, 30 stores, about to be 4 years, right? 33 now. 30 stores, about to franchise, about to go national, really focusing on, you know, I love the way you broke that down to make it very formulaic, right? Where, yep. Hey, these are the things here. Here's where I'm, you know, I say this a lot in business. A lot of times it's about, you know, when you're out there surfing and you're sitting in the water, when you're looking from the shore and you're looking down on the break, it's really easy to see where that break is. But when you're out there in the water and you're trying to figure out where the break is, it's not so easy, right? And so you got to triangulate, right? You got to get exactly where you are. You got to look at the points on the beach and figure out exactly where it is. But once you triangulate and get exactly where you need to set up for that set, that wave will pick you up and take you all the way in, right? And I love that. Basically, it's a great analogy for what you're talking about, man. If I can get these four things to kind of intersect, I can ride this wave. And clearly that's true, because you're sitting here proving to be very, very successful. So Everbowl, what does Everbowl offer? Because we got a lot of people from all over the country, right, that just haven't heard of it yet. So what?
Sure. It's craft superfood. So it's acai bowls, pitaya bowls, graviola bowls, acerola bowls, super fuel coffee, which is the world's first acai infused coffee line. And basically what it means is it's nutritionally dense foods, and we make them in a way that actually tastes good. And we're now, we'll get into it, but now anyone around the country can actually buy them, regardless of whether or not we have a store. You can also buy our coffee on Amazon and through our website. But really, it's about being your best self. Eating, we know that you're going to eat food, and everyone wants to eat healthy. And if I can give you something that makes you healthy, when you eat good, you feel good. When you feel good, you look good. When you look good, you perform good. When you perform good, you get your personal results. So it all stems from our fuel. And the best analogy I have for it is like your car. We all put only gasoline in our car. I've never seen someone skip the gas station and go to the grocery store and throw some Gatorade into their car. It won't run. And if I put a scoop of sugar in your car, you'd beat me up or call the police. But we put junk and shit in our bodies all the time out of convenience. And everyone wants to eat healthy, but you want it to taste good, because we're humans and we're just going to not do it if it doesn't. So my why for Everbowl is a word I created and trademarked. It's on the back of my hat. It's unevolved. It didn't exist, and it's basically a lifestyle. And think of a modern version of Livestrong without the Lance and the doping and all that right. shit, but like a clean version of lifestyle. And it simply means to live actively and eat stuff that's been around forever. That's the word unevolve. It's a lifestyle choice. It says, I'm going to move my body and I'm going to eat real food. Whether you're a vegetarian, pescatarian, paleo, keto, you only eat meat, you don't eat meat, it doesn't matter. As long as it's real food, your body knows what to do with it, and you're going to be better. And so I'm promoting an unevolved lifestyle, because technology is phenomenal on so many levels, but it's bad for health. We can use technology so much now, we don't move our bodies, and we can eat laboratory created food, and that is bad for us. So to get away from that and to help avoid the four main ailments that are, you know, destroying Americans, let's eat better. And I want to be part of that cause, and I want to help you do it. And that's what Everbowl was meant to do. And as a result, I get to mirror all of my passions between health and wellness and startups and innovation and disruption and all that together. And, you know, we have 430 employees, and the two rules at Everbowl are make friends and have fun. And I get to start more startups. You know, I got to start a coffee business about a year ago and vertically integrated into Everbowl. I started a construction company where we build our own restaurants. So I was able to lower the price point and really disrupt the franchise market now, because when I built my first restaurant, it cost me over $200,000. And that's fine, but that's not scalable, right? I can't build 100 restaurants doing that. I'm going to run out of money. So I wanted to figure out why does it cost so much to build these restaurants? And so I took a look at what IKEA does and what they were able to do with furniture and home furniture and office furniture and put it in a box. And I started a company called WeBuild, or actually it's called WeBuild Stuff. And we build Everbowls. And I've gotten my price point now where I can build a restaurant for under $50,000 in under 45 days. And I can do it off site and install it on premise in under 2 weeks. And that has allowed us to exponentially grow. And now for franchisees of Everbowl, I'm able to put this in a box to where my franchisees can open an Everbowl all in, including the build out, the inventory, the training, the franchise fees and everything for around $100,000, which is unheard of for a restaurant in the franchise world. And my competitors are 300,000. So if you want to compete with one of my competitors in a market, you can open three Everbowls when they're only opening one. And then that's going to help you be more profitable as a business because you get economies of scale, you get buying power, you get to leverage all of the advertising benefits of having more locations. So we're, again, formulaically, we're building a system. We're building a repeatable, scalable system to introduce superfoods to every community in America and inspire people to help us do it. And let them build sustainable wealth by opening lots of these. And I'm having a shit ton of fun doing it. So,
dude, I love it. I love the vertical integration, right? I mean, there's so many valuable lessons there. You know, in the real estate space, we try to get people to have their investment arm, then turn around and have their retail side of it, then go get a piece of the title. And then, there's all these little places where you can, a common friend of ours and business partner, Roland Fraser, I mean, he brings this up one side and down the other. This is I love the idea, and I love what you're doing there, dude. It's badass. So let's talk about kind of the 800-pound gorilla, the elephant in the room here, right?
You are
very uncertain times. I'm sure that you are. I mean, you've kind of entertained your thoughts of what the hell are we going to do? We can't. So tell me what your business looks like right now. What key pivots you're making, et cetera, in this particular space.
Absolutely. So immediately, obviously, once I'm in California and Arizona, but once the mandate came for social distancing, no people can eat inside the restaurants. And it was really just takeout and curbside. We employ mostly high school and college aged young adults. And a lot of their parents weren't okay with them working for us during this time. So we made the immediate decision to temporarily close all of our stores. So we furloughed 430 employees, and my plan is to bring back 900 when we get to come back in a couple of weeks. And that was my personal goal, was to literally double our employee count, because so many people are going to be out of work that I want to be in a position to hire 2x what I left with. And it became time again, being an entrepreneur, you're a problem solver. So this is just the new problem. And the number one mistake people make is in times of crisis is actually when more opportunity presents itself. It's not when times are good. It's right now. And so what did we look at? Well, I used my experience in the internet marketing space and understanding that and said, okay, we have these products. So we launched a concept called Later Bowls. And anyone right now around the country can go to shop.everbowl.com or everbowl.com and just click the tab for Later Bowls. And I will ship you a box of these bowls in that you can put in your freezer and make on command at home. And now we're available to sell nationwide. And they've been going like hotcakes to the point where it's like, oh my God, I almost kicked myself for not having thought about this 2 years ago. But we were running so fast, but it's been unbelievable. The reception, and people are enjoying them. And now you get to be healthy at home, and it's affordable, and it's been great. And now we're bringing more employees in to just run this business unit. And it's now allowing us to geo-target in new areas and introduce more people to the brand that could never have had an experience without coming here. So a listener in New York right now can buy a box of Later Bowls and have them tomorrow and enjoy them and then be like, oh my God, I feel good. I'm being my best self. I'm being healthy. I'm doing it from home. And you're also supporting Everbowl, so I appreciate it. But you can also taste our Super Fuel coffee, which is the next piece. And so that's been our big pivot right now.
Well, I mean, from your standpoint, dude, I mean, I'm sure you've already thought of this, but that could easily turn into where you're creating advocates around the country, which could easily turn into some of your franchisees, right? I mean, that's right.
I mean, that's how all of them came to be. So we made the decision to franchise only after we had over 500 franchise requests, and we don't advertise franchising. I've never advertised franchising. Every single one of them was a customer first. And if you can turn a customer into a champion and someone who wants to buy into your company, you're doing something right. And that's what we focus on. And so the same exact thing, like it's funny. We sold 20 franchises right before COVID-19. We did a 20 unit deal with Wags Capital. And the plan was for him to help us launch it. And he was a customer first. And the one thing he hit on, which he's like, Jeff, what's your advertising budget? just for Everbowl. And I'm like, oh, we don't advertise. He's like, what do you mean you don't advertise? And I'm like, no, we've never advertised. You know, literally, it's been word of mouth. That's how we've grown. And should we advertise? Absolutely. But we just haven't had a chance to really put an advertising program together because we've been growing so fast that my way of advertising is let's open another store. And that becomes our billboard, right? I could, instead of having a billboard for a few grand a month, let's have a restaurant because we can build them so cheap. We get to put food in people's mouths. Once they taste it, they like it. They tell their friends and then they come and we're introducing ourselves into more communities and we're growing more like, I mean, I don't want to use the analogy, but we're growing from within. And this COVID-19, you know, yeah, it's troubling. I mean, I felt terrible having to temporarily furlough so many employees, but we're going to bring them all back and they're going to make more money and we're going to thrive. And the community is going to focus more on nutrition now because your immune system is how you're going to stave off the virus if you get it and make sure you're healthy and being your best self. And we're going to be there to do it with you in an affordable way. And we're going to help employ Americans. And for those of you who lose your job and are looking for the next thing to do, but you don't have an idea, open an Everbowl with us. And we're going to help you do that. We're going to create a financing arm if you don't have the capital and the resources to do it. And we're not going to let your personal wealth or lack thereof stand in the way of you opening a store as long as you are Everbowl material, which means you can make friends, have fun, and live an unevolved lifestyle. And that's who we're looking to partner with. And we're going to retake what franchising was meant to be because it's migrated too far away from that to this only for the wealthy type right. of venture.
Corporate type thing where it's, you know, you've exactly. literally got these huge corporations that own all these different franchises.
That's right.
Dude, I love that. I love everything about it. How, when you were out there growing from within, how did you select your original store locations? What were you looking for?
So my first one came actually just because I believe opportunity finds you and you just got to have your eyes open. So I went to get a smoothie in Poway in August. It was July 22nd of 2016. And I was actually just kind of going to have a smoothie and I wasn't really like full bore ready to go with Everbowl. I didn't even have a name yet. I didn't have a menu. I had nothing. But when I went in to get the smoothie, the gentleman who owned it was a Smoothie King in Poway, and the Smoothie King owner was actually like pulling stuff off the walls and walking it to his van. And I was like, are you closed? And he's like, no, I'm open till the end of the week, but I'm retiring and the business is closing. And I'm like, oh, what's coming here? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, how come you didn't sell the business? And he said, I was asking too much and no one wanted to buy a Smoothie King. And I said, do you mind giving me the landlord's name and number? And he did. I called and actually ended up signing a lease August 2nd because I figured if a Smoothie King was here for 20 years, then there was already a health conscious consumer in the area. And I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. I mean, I have made a career trying to just skate to where the puck's going to be, to quote Wayne Gretzky, and let smart people make smart decisions. And I just have to realize that they're smart and follow along. And so he built that business for 20 years and he already had this built-in community. And so I figured, hey, this is the best place to launch and I'll figure out a menu. I'll figure out a recipe. I'll figure out a name after. And so I signed the lease and jumped in.
I love that go sign the lease first. Don't even have a business. Don't have a name. Don't have a menu. Don't have anything. Talk about setting yourself up for success. Something to be said for putting yourself in, I don't want to say in harm's way, but putting the crosshairs directly on your back where you've got to perform, right? That public proclamation.
I jumped in and I figured out a name. I figured out recipes. 2 weeks before we opened, I invited about 30 of my friends over to the house. I had about 40 different recipes I had made. We did a little fun roundabout thing and I got there, you know, I polled everybody and I got a good sense of what people liked and didn't like. And I can always change that. I mean, the beauty of recipes, you can always change, you know, but the concept was the concept. And I knew that health and wellness wasn't going anywhere. And the millennial consumer, who's a large portion of our population, is healthy by nature now and everyone's trying to be healthy and the research is out how important it is. And again, I didn't wait to have experience. I didn't know anything about restaurants, but it didn't matter, right? There's so much knowledge available to people. It's just about getting started. And I just knew I had to jump in the pool to start swimming.
I love that, dude. I love that. You'll figure it out, right?
That's right.
One way or the other. And so when you started that, did you have any idea that it would turn into an evolving what it has now?
Well, I did, that was my goal. I mean, I never wanted to own one restaurant. I never wanted to own restaurants, to be honest with you. I wanted to be in the entertainment side of it. And I just felt like this was my path towards helping everyone unevolve. And my goal was to build a nationwide concept, the next big chain. And so you know, I didn't realize how fast it was going to be. Once we were able to, the WeBuild side was able to build them so cheap, I was able to exponentially grow. So October 16, I had one. At the end of 17, I had five. And then I made a personal goal in 2018 to build one store every single month and two in June and July and see if we could do it. And we were successful. And then it was, let's build in Arizona. Then let's build in San Francisco. And then we expanded to Riverside. And it was just from that was kind of more just every goal we hit, we set another audacious goal. And it's amazing when you set really audacious goals, if you kind of push towards them, you'll hit them. And or you'll have to pivot and adjust a little bit. But all these things just built off each other. And then surrounding myself with brilliant, smart people and having an incredible team around me has allowed us to do it. My personal philosophy of being the dumbest guy in the room has served me well. And so I surround myself with brilliant people who are better at all these things than me. And together we do it. And so they pick me up. And because of them, we are where we are.
So what's been the biggest lesson, man? So you've been at this, you've gone through massive, massive growth very, very quickly. What's been the biggest lesson along the way that you would share? If you had to go back to the day you started the store, right?
Yep.
And go into that Smoothie King and you sign that lease and do that whole thing. You know, if you could go back to that guy and say, hey, let me just kind of help you navigate, what would be the biggest lesson you would share to that guy?
So I would share, and it was the one stumble we had along the way when we didn't focus enough on training. Everbull University, which is what we started midway through, where we train our staff. So when I first started, I was focused too much on the customer. And I would go back and tell my earlier self, the customer is second, my employees one. And if you focus on your employees and you build them and train them and provide them all the resources, tools, and opportunity, they will take care of your customer. And from there, you'll have even a better, stronger brand. So when I was in the stores at the beginning, I was able to focus on the customers and it was all about the customer, the customer, the customer. But as we grew so quickly and went from one store to 20, I had to bring in great people. And Brian Augustine, our chief development officer, he built out Everbull University and really was the one driving force behind us focusing more on our employees. And I was a little bit slower to adopt. And I wish I hadn't been because he was so right. And so I would go back and put more emphasis on our employees from day one. And that would really allow us to thrive even faster than we have thus far.
So you've got 500 people leaning on you to saying they want a franchise. It sounds like you and Aaron have already done something. What's the next year look like? What's the next 5 years look like?
So the next year, our goal was 50 franchisees or 50 franchises, I should say. And so as soon as we get back from Corona and we understand what the new landscape looks like, unfortunately for the world, but maybe fortunately for Everbull, there will probably be a lot of real estate available from the companies that don't make it through. Obviously, I don't want that for anyone. I hope everyone survives and I'm rooting for it. But I think in communities all across the country, people are going to be out of work and there will be a lot more commercial real estate available. So I think we can even double down on that goal. And I want to be there. I want to be that resource. I want people to say, you know what? I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. So I'm going to open an Everbull. And I hope we see even more people coming and joining us because we're going to provide sustainable wealth for more people and help more people achieve their financial freedom dreams while being a business owner. And we're going to employ more people by opening more units and we're going to make everyone more healthy. And that's our goal in the next year. In the next five, my goal is to build this thing into something that is nationwide and Everbull in every community for everybody. And I can look back and, you know, kind of have that moment of enjoyment of the legacy thing that, hey, I was a part of that. And that's kind of my goal in the next five.
Dude, I love everything about this. I love it. And the fact that we did some stuff together, I think it's probably 12 or whatever, and then kind of lost touch and then watch it come back full circle here 7 years later and see how what you have done is just amazing, brother. I could not be more proud. And I am definitely rooting for you.
Thank you.
Last parting comment here. So you got some people out there. Again, they're a little nervous, a little scared. They're kind of for all the reasons that we don't even need to go into. What would be your advice to people that are watching us here today?
I would say my advice to you is the power of 4 minutes. And what I mean by that is even if you're not ready to fully commit, you have a job, you have this, you know, you've probably never had more time than you do now, but the power of time and what you can do with it in 4 minutes a day, if you spend 4 minutes doing something or working on your dream or your goal or your new company or your vision over the course of a year, that's 24 hours. That means if you do something 4 minutes a day for a year, you'll get 24 hours worth of practice at it. And it's just 4 minutes. So instead of hitting snooze every morning and taking that extra 8 minutes, invest that into you. And that's 2 full days a year that you get to do it. And as you start to do that, you're going to start to get progress and set micro goals and use the concept of Kaizen to get 1% better every single day. And that's easily obtainable by everybody. You can always get 1% better. And by doing that, you're going to achieve unbelievable goals that you never thought were possible. Momentum's going to happen. You're going to start being your best self, living your dream. And then all I ask is that you pay it forward, because I'm sitting here because of people like Kent and all the people before me who have been such great mentors and partners and worked and collaborated from and learned from. And now I want to pay it forward. And I hope everyone else does the same thing, because entrepreneurs, we're a community. And a rising tide lifts all boats, and we have to be there for each other. And together, we can all get through it. Even if they're a competitor of mine, I want them to be successful, because they're building my industry and my market. And the more people who eat superfoods, the better. Even if you go to my competitor, that's okay, because there'll be a day when my competitor is not convenient, and you're going to come to me, and I get to meet you, and you're going to tell more people about it, and I'm going to be a tool and a resource in it. So that's my gospel, but I'm passionate about it.
Oh, I can tell, dude. I can tell. And I love how it all is kind of intersected and woven together at this point for you, because life gets pretty good when you've got your mission and your cause, and you kind of, everything's in lockstep. It doesn't become work then. I mean, it becomes something that you just can't wait to do. And so I see how that's evolved for you, no pun intended, gotten into that place where that's clearly all coming together. So congratulations, my friend. You couldn't have.
Thank you, brother.
And nothing but success to you. Thanks for doing this with our tribe today. And I will see you soon. Like, as soon as this is all over, let's get together.
100%. Take care with the family. I can't wait to hang in Bird Rock, and we'll have a bowl together. I'll bring one down.
You got it, buddy. Be cool. See ya.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kempclothier.com.